Ahoy there, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with fans of hypotheticals and fans of eating edibles. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
New glasses? I like them.
As of like a month ago, yeah.
Oh, well, sorry I didn't notice before. They're nice.
Yeah, they're okay.
Did you do one of those like face shape things? Because I feel like they go for your face, but every time I try on a pair of glasses like that, I feel like I look ridiculous in circular glasses.
The normal lenses or the normal frames that I get were out of stock. So I had to try something new and I was like, yeah, those are pretty close. I think they'll probably look okay.
On me, they look like I'm the dork in a 70s movie, but it looks more natural on you as a fit.
Yeah, I got a lot of roundness to my features. I think it works. And they have a little bit of edge, which is what I learned from Emily when I got a pair of glasses where the frames had no edge. She said, these have no edge. And I said, I have no edge. And she's like, yeah, exactly. You can't have no edge anywhere.
Also, every time I look at those face shape diagrams where they're like, this is the glasses you should have for this face shape. I'm like, my face feels like just face shaped. I don't know. Who has a heart shaped face? Who has like a ridiculous like two butts on the top of their head? What does that mean?
Are those the people that are supposed to have the heart-shaped glasses?
You know, I don't think that's how it works, but maybe.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Mine's circular, so I get the circular glasses.
Oh.
If your head is shaped like a honeycomb, then you get the honeycomb glasses. Shout out to one of my favorite bartenders.
If your face is shaped like the year 2020, you get the 2020 glasses.
Okay, that was worth it. shout out to one of my favorite bartenders in Sacramento who I was talking about her behind her back because she showed me her honeybee tattoo and it was not anatomically correct.
That story was worth it. Mm-hmm. Well, now that you know how it feels, we can move on.
I was about to say, you really didn't hold on to that one. You were just like...
I didn't want to be sitting on it the whole episode, brooding.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
No, what's been going on?
Not much. I had a real do nothing birthday week, so that was nice. And then other than that, just hanging, banging, slanging.
Nice.
Yeah.
Isabel went to Houston, so I did this thing where I was like, ooh, she's away, so I'm gonna do all the things that I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything I can't do, but obviously you just kind of feel guilty taking a ton of TV time to do something yourself when your partner's in the house. So I was like, I'm going to download a video game and just get drunk and play it all day Friday, and then I'm going to play it more Saturday.
And
then I did that, and 2 hours in, I was like, I'm bored. My head hurts. I don't even like this game that much.
Were you playing Split Decision again or whatever? What was that?
Playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Mm.
It's pretty good. Not a lot of fighting. It's one of those games where there's way too much detail in the stuff you can do. I thought I was going to be like a knight sword fighting, and an hour in, I'm spending 10 minutes like brewing potions. Press X to grab the cauldron. Press it, then it's like you have to grab the specific spice. Why can't I just press X once and have it like do this in a cutscene? Why am I moving my character around to grab all the spices to brew my healing potion?
You're missing out on the joy of the game.
I don't know. Every once in a while, I'm like, I'm going to play games again, and it's going to be like when I was a kid. It's going to be so fun, and it never feels that way.
Damn. I'm 3 minutes into Pacopia, and I'm hoping it brings back some joy.
That one's been getting good reviews, right?
Yeah. It's been getting great reviews, yeah.
You play as a Ditto in a post-apocalyptic world?
Yeah. Post-apocalyptic.
I'm trying to get that marketing job with Nintendo. Nintendo. Nice. Yeah.
Check out Super Mario Galaxy Movie, coming to theaters near you.
Ooh,
91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Even a bigger discrepancy, and I was going to bring up the Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bigger discrepancy between critic and audience scores than the last one.
Yeah, I've heard it's not great.
Oh, so you're hanging out with critics, not the people.
Yeah.
I don't know. My nephew liked the first one a lot, so.
Yeah, see, I'm not hanging out with your nephew. I don't know what to tell you.
Which is weird, because I'm always sunning you, so you would think you'd hang out with your cousin.
Is that? Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
A little bit of wordplay for you, Adrian. Think on it. Yeah. You'll get in the shower tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I did that, I didn't watch a movie or anything, so I don't have a media roundup.
Oh, I went to, I think this might have been on Sunday. Yeah, so it's been a week. I went to go watch Forbidden Fruit in the movie theaters, and it was really fun. It was like if Mean Girls was about witches at the mall. I liked it.
Nice.
Dorley,
how horror-y is it? What, would you say that a person who's like, oh, I don't like horror movies, but I'm okay with, like, a me-type person?
Some gore in the third act, but otherwise it's more psychological, more like creepy. I think you could handle it. It was one of those ones where like when I can't remember why we were both bored on the same day, but we went to go watch the Emoji Movie at the same time so we could talk about it afterwards on a phone call. Dorley and I did that accidentally where we both got out of the movie at the exact same time. And so we were able to talk about it afterwards, which was nice. She also enjoyed it.
Nice.
Both had a lot of fun.
Cool. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thought experiments.
Indeed.
What are like the top ones that pop to mind for you when people mention thought experiments? And I think we're going to stick more to the ethical ones because it's not like we're figuring out like, you know, quantum. We're not doing Schrodinger's cat. We're not figuring out which interpretation.
Oh, that was one I was thinking of, yeah.
Do you have a strong opinion on whether a particle, you know, in superposition...
Finally, I get to talk about this.
...can affect macroscopic events? I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah, I think that one, the trolley problem, Ship of Theseus, that's a classic.
Yeah, the Ship of Theseus is fun. A lot of these I think we're going to make fun of because it feels like almost stone middle schooler stuff to talk about or think about, but there, you know, it is kind of fun.
Is that a thought experiment? The one about, like, when does water become wet? Is that sometimes what people will ask?
Oh,
because, like,
I've
a single molecule
that.
Of water isn't wet. It's just H2O, but then, like, at what point does it become wet?
I guess, would two become wet? I don't know.
Other ones. I think it was an early episode of the podcast where we did the one where it was the guy getting mad at his girlfriend because she wouldn't kill a puppy to save the works of Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was a fun one. That was a Slate column, and it was like, was it the woman or the boyfriend was writing in because he was upset at his girlfriend?
Yeah, the boyfriend was mad that his girlfriend would save the puppy instead of the literature.
It is awesome to come up with a hypothetical and then get angry at people for answering it wrong.
Well, you're going to be excited for my column.
Do you have an opinion on the Ship of Theseus? Is it the same ship after you've replaced every part? And what's your take?
Oh, what's my Subway take on that? I don't know. I think I've heard that a lot in, people use it as a metaphor a lot in academia. I don't remember like a good instance of when. I remember there was like a bird researcher who was talking about social groups of birds and like them being replaced by their offspring, and someone brought up the Ship of Theseus as a metaphor for it.
No, I feel like I can answer that one really easy. That's just like a country. That's a nation. The USA is still the USA after a generation passes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
I mean, obviously with populations, it's the same group after everybody passes away, and because it's like the cultural knowledge. I feel like that's different than the Ship of Theseus. Much easier to answer.
Interesting. I feel like I would have gone with the opposite answer. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
But
so.
You don't
I guess
feel
not.
Like the mama birds would teach the baby birds something, so there would still be like something to that group that was the
Are
same.
Are those the same birds though?
No, but it's still the same group of. It's like the like I said, it's like the USA. It's still like group B of birds. Mm. You know.
You know, that's a compelling metaphor. All right, I believe you.
Damn, knocking them out of the park. Pitch me another one.
Do the people also do the Ship of Theseus, the train version of that too, or am I thinking of something else about like rebuilding?
They do the
train?
Teleportation. They do the Star Trek teleportation, which is like if every atom in your body is replaced,
are you the same person? I remember getting that in high school, and I was like, "Damn, I don't know. I can't teleport now."
And then they hit you with the pivot on that question, which is
with
what if it
your
breaks?
Cells. Oh,
what if the machine breaks and you don't teleport, but it still reconstructs your body from other atoms somewhere else? Now that's a clone, and you wouldn't want yourself to be killed.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say the thing where they say that, like, technically your cells have all been replaced in the last however many times, so you've already been replaced completely.
Oh, yeah, that's another little thing people mention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people are always arguing about this. If I accidentally created a clone, I think we'd just hang out. I don't know why we'd have to kill me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because of the paradox. Yeah, the trolley problem is nice because it has a lot of derivatives. There's a lot of ways to go with that one.
Oh, yeah, I sent you the screenshot from when we thought of the theme, and I went first to the trolley problem Wikipedia, and there's the fat man trolley problem, which is, would you push a fat man in front of the train to save the five people, and why is that different?
Yeah.
I don't understand why I have to be a fat man. What is that?
Because he has to have the ability to stop the trolley.
Oh, he has to have enough momentum. I honestly think the problem with that is I don't think any weighted person of any weight's going to stop a train.
Ooh, I don't know.
I think you've just murdered a fat man.
We live in a fat phobic society.
Oh, yeah. The conductor's going to go, ew, gross. His beauty standards don't meet my expectations and stop the train real quick.
And he's going to, famously, I've talked about evolutionary biologists used to be really big on the, I think my advisor called it like a lounge chair problem, but it was always like an armchair thing where they'd be like, how many, it was always the jumping on a grenade. And so it'd be like, if you were in a room with 16 people who were like this much related to you, is it worth it to jump on the grenade? Because that's technically more fitness for you than for you to survive. Where they like to do the little maths on how much someone has to be related to you for it to be a beneficial.
Oh, okay.
It's just Hamilton's rule. Yeah.
Is the argument that, like, the natural phenomena of you, doing, like, selfless deeds for family is, does it, like, actually map to that mathematics that closely, or?
That's how, you know, if you can make the math really make sense, you can get a good nature paper out of that. There was a guy at Davis who got a nature paper out of showing that turkey vultures, or maybe some kind of turkey, like, the brothers help their brothers get mated, and it makes sense mathematically. Rather than sacrificing their own mating or whatever. Like, I don't know. He was able to show that the math looked pretty nice, and they were like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, we'll put that in nature.
I have the Wikipedia article for the list of these pulled up, so I'll just, like, read the ones that we might know off the top of our heads.
Okay.
There's Pascal's wager and the atheist's wager.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah. Is it fun? It really feels like just... It feels like you answer it based on whether or not you're a believer or an atheist. You just answer them.
Yeah, Pascal's is the one where it's like, why not believe in God? Because it's better to be wrong but believe in him than to be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the atheist wager is like some double back on that where it's like, well, I would assume a just God would not care either way. So
I have heard that.
So if God isn't just, then I can't really, figure out what he wants. And if he is just, why would he punish me for being an atheist?
Yeah. Owned. Got him.
Yeah, I guess that's not that fun. That's just going to, middle school shit. Let's see what other ones there are. Killing baby Hitler.
Oh, I guess that is a thought experiment.
Yeah, it really feels more like a jokey thing people say they would do with a time machine than like an actual moral problem of like, would you kill a baby if you knew he would grow up to be Hitler?
It seems more like a premise for a stand-up joke than an actual thought experiment.
A great stand-up joke.
Yeah. Is the thing that we've done before on Pod the, it has a name, but the thing with the goat in the doors, is that technically a thought experiment or is that just a stats problem?
That's the just Monty a Hall stats problem. Okay. Yeah. That one has a very set in stone answer.
Is that the definition of a thought experiment? Is that you can't give a definitive answer?
Maybe Monty Hall is a thought experiment. And
did you ever watch that movie where it was the woman who she would get $1 million if she pressed a button, but someone random would die?
No, but I feel like I'd heard that as a child. So maybe that's a thought experiment.
Sometimes that's what they do with movies. Sometimes you're 20 years old and for some reason they're putting out a movie about what if you could use 100% of your brain.
It is weird how much that movie didn't suck. You know what I mean?
Like, did you watch it? I didn't watch it.
Oh, really? It was, I mean, I watched it when I was like 20, so
I think
maybe
we were
I'm wrong about this,
out,
but
yeah.
Limitless was like pretty serviceable for how stupid it seemed.
Interesting. In concept. Okay.
It is one of those things like the early episodes of, what was that show called? Chuck?
The Geek Squad guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a fantasy movie where you're like, oh, it would be crazy if I was just good at everything without having to ever learn or try or put hard work in. That would be awesome. I wish that would happen to me.
Was that Bradley Cooper? Is that who was in that?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. But yeah, would you press the button?
No.
Wow. For $1 million.
But what if they told me that there was a slightly higher chance that it would kill the next Hitler? Then I would have to press the button. 5% chance it kills the next Hitler, 95% chance it kills a random person on Earth. I don't know. I would have to press it like 20, 30 times to make sure.
Shout out to Rory Scovel, who has that bit of, if my wife was pregnant, we would have to get the abortion because what if that kid grew up to be an abortion doctor? Something like that. It's been a long time since I've heard it.
could God create a rock so big that he couldn't lift it?
Oh, I do like that. I've used that one before when I was in high school.
I mean, to be fair, that's the type of thing that got people killed in like the 15th century, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like of the utmost mind importance that came to up them. With that.
The ill mind of Hobson back then.
I mean, that was like, is it Copernicus? I don't know, one of those guys, right? Like, that was his whole thing, was like, there can't be an infinite universe because if God is infinite, or there has to be an infinite universe because why would a infinite God make a finite universe or something? And the church killed him over that shit, so.
Damn, he's spitting. You ever get into a Buddhist cone? You ever get into those?
Those feel a little bit more like they have jokey answers to them. Like, the can one hand clap thing.
You think that's what it is?
There's
like deeply spiritual Buddhist
It cones. Feels like, yeah, because it's like, can one hand clap? It's like, you immediately start going like, yeah, I guess so.
Well, shout out to Ben Schaefer in sixth grade who had a fluid enough hand that he could actually make it sound like a real clap.
What is the sound of one hand clapping?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a list right now for other ones to discuss. There's Allegory of a Cave. I guess that's a thought experiment.
Is like, that Plato?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Plato. That boy's spitting, bruh.
How much of reality is our perception versus reality?
Oh, have you ever gotten into that conversation with somebody when you're high of like, what if the color blue that you see isn't the same color blue that I see?
Oh, yeah, that's up there with Pascal's Wager for middle school classics.
That's a classic one.
When I was looking up stuff for this episode, there was a similar one about taste, which was like a Redditor was like, what if people don't have different taste? What if we all have the same taste in food? We just perceive the foods differently. I was like, I don't think that's it. I think we probably perceive them similarly because people will say something like vinegary or sweet.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. What's the alternatives there? People do taste the same things or they taste them but...
You see, this one it doesn't make sense to me because no other sense works this way. The proposition was, would we all have the same taste if we perceived food completely identically to each other? Is it a matter of how we perceive what we're tasting versus an actual taste? And I feel like that's obviously not true because I perceive a movie exactly like most other people, you know, given that they have like the same eyesight and hearing as me. We're probably perceiving the exact same thing, but we have different taste in the quality of the movie. So why would food or work any different than that? I don't know. It seemed objectively wrong to me, but, you know, I wasn't going to reply on this 15-year-old thread.
I should have
taken him down a notch.
Yeah, yeah. You should have left a really argumentative answer and then said, by the way, here's the link to my podcast.
Leave a 5-star review.
Cool. Any other thought experiments you want to go over?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I have any other ones that I have that have blown my mind recently. Are they still coming out with new ones?
Probably, right?
Yeah, right.
One of the ones I saw was that, like, we've proven that you can live with half a brain, or people have had, like, their brain severed and been able to live on only half their brain. I think I saw one that was like, now that we know that, what if you could move one half of the brain to another body? Like, which side is you?
Yeah.
There was a version of me that would have been so down to really like try to figure this out, and it would have made me feel smart to talk about this. Is growing up and becoming cynical where you hear these thought experiments and it's like your instinct is to just shrug and be like, I don't know, whatever. Is that something we've lost with age? Is there kind of something better about being the other way, about the youthful like vigor to tackle questions way bigger than you're prepared to tackle?
Well, now you're bringing me into the thing that I think we've talked about recently that I think does fall into a thought experiment, which is my exasperation of any kind of question like, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, yeah. I do hate those. I really do. It's so uninteresting. Yeah. It's supposed to like compel an interesting conversation, but I guess the ship of Theseus would be better to me because at least that feels somewhat more meaningful. I don't know. Yeah.
I can't remember where I was where someone brought that up and people started talking about it. And I was just like, man, everyone is so genuinely engaging with this conversation and I do not care.
I think my go-to explanation for why so much of this stuff is uninteresting to me is at the root of it, it always ends up being a question of language because it always comes down to like, well, okay, how do you want to, you know, the sandwich hot dog thing, obviously a question of language, but even things like, does a tree that falls in the woods make a sound? Yeah. It's like, that's also just a question of language. So many of these become a question of like, I don't know, define sound very specifically, and then you have a yes or no answer, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I think we had a class in like fifth grade or middle school that started with that question. And I think my teacher said I was right for saying that you have to perceive a sound. So she gave us a definitive answer on that one. She was like, yeah, that's the answer.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously you could just define sound as airwaves fluctuating at a certain frequency. And then it's like, why do you need a human? You know, it's just, it comes down to define sound. I mean, she defined it a different way, but I don't think it's that strictly defined in our language how it's typically used. So both answers are fine.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why they're not fun.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. I don't think anyone that I quickly come to the conclusion of like, oh, that's a definition question. I'm always like, okay. All right, do you want to get into my call?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we didn't talk too much about the trolley problem. Oh, before we get into columns, do you have like a speed round answer to the trolley problem? I think I'm pulling the lever and killing the one person. If there's five on one track, one on one track, and it's going towards the five people.
Can you give me the basic
people.
Trolley problem again?
Yeah, the most basic version is five people are tied to one track, can't get off. One person's on a different track. The trolley's heading towards the five people. You have the lever to make it head towards the one person.
Right.
By taking
an
action, you're actively killing that one person. So, you know, you're taking the action to kill somebody. But is that preferable to just not acting and letting it kill five people?
I'm going to let it go over the five people and then round it back around to the other person, make sure they're all dead.
And do you have an actual answer?
Well, are they conservative? I'm going to go the Phil route
about
on this
these
one.
People.
You don't know if it's none of them. They're not wearing a MAGA hat.
Yeah, you can't see anything about them. These are you're too far away to see details.
Oh, well, that feels very distant. That feels like,
Adrian said, I'm turning around. Not my problem.
I was about to say, that's too far away. That's out of sight, out of mind. I'm gonna slip on a banana and hit the lever that way accidentally and move it.
Okay, so what you said is my answer was deniability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got slate.com's from 2022, Jamila Lemieux. Dear Karen Feeding, I have a 3-year-old child whom I'll refer to as Jay. While I was at work, somehow the trolley problem came up. You know, the exercise in applied ethics that asks if you should turn the lever to redirect a trolley that's about to hit five people to instead hit a singular person on the other track. Well, Jay likes to play with a train set, and after dinner, I was playing with Jay, and I thought to try out the trolley problem. We got some Lego figures, put them on the track, and I told Jay that the train was going to hit these five people, but Jay could switch the tracks if Jay is willing to have the other person crushed. Jay looked at me, then at the track, and then very seriously picked up the lone figure and put on the track with the other five. Then Jay took the train, ran over all six of them, turned to me and said very seriously, it was a bad accident. I'm now worried that I'm raising a budding psychopath. Actively seeking to increase harm and playing it off as nothing is almost definitionally malevolent, and I don't know what to do about it. Can I save my child?
No, too late.
It's too late.
Now you have another ethical dilemma where you have to figure out if you have to kill your child or not.
This could be the next Hitler.
This is the trolley problem, yeah.
Yeah.
You get to kill this kid.
If you will. Baby Jake. Baby Jitler.
Yeah, Jitler. He's Jitler, folks.
There's no way this person's serious, right? They sent this in. This is like kids do the darndest thing material wrapped in the premise of, like, I have an issue.
Oh, you think so?
You know, you think this person actually is concerned about a 3-year-old playing run over? You know what? Maybe they are, because I've told people that as a kid, me and my friends used to throw spiders into ant piles to watch them fight. And some people do look at you like you're a psychopath. And I'm like, that is normal kid shit. What are you guys odd about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is definitely not like budding psychopath behavior. I mean, I don't know. You know what?
It's just the curious.
They didn't
grow
up in South Carolina. They don't know these city slickers. They don't understand what it was like.
I couldn't take the queue line to go to whatever and do a bodega run. I had to play with things outside.
Yeah, I didn't get to go play with the bodega cat and get my bacon, egg, and cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese. You got to say this one word. My bacon, egg, and cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Speaking about the Buddhist cones and the class that I took, I do remember there was this really funny time where we were reading this book about like some kind of little monk's spiritual journey. And at one point, we were reading a passage where it asks about, like, this person. And my teacher's like, so in that passage, who do you think that's referring to? And someone just very dryly goes, the little guy in the picture. But anyways, back to this child. I mean, this seems like one of those things where parents do worry about these kind of things, though, right? Is it too young? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's a 3-year-old. Of course he's going to play games where he runs over people and stuff.
Yeah, don't introduce him to Simpsons Hit and Run.
I think that would be beyond odd parenting to judge a child morally for playing rough with action figures or running them over with his toy train.
Mm-hmm. Do you just start introducing other ethical questions to them to see if it's consistent in a pattern?
Mm-hmm.
Do you give them the button to kill somebody?
And then to teach them a lesson, you have their dad pretend he dies immediately, and you're like, 1 in 7 billion, what were the chances? Now you understand how these things have repercussions.
Are we calling Death Note a thought experiment? Are we calling that? Is that one?
I've never seen the anime. I mean, I know the general premise.
Yeah, he gets a book from a demon, and if he knows someone's true name and he knows what they look like, he can write how they die in the notebook.
Oh, I just assumed that they died immediately, a stroke or something. He can be like hit by a car or...
So it's actually interesting that you know that. If he doesn't write a specific cause of death, it becomes a heart attack, but if he writes something specific, that's what happens. But that is the default, yeah. So that's what happens the first few deaths in the manga.
What if he writes
But it's really... also it's also why one of the storylines is Rumpelstiltskin. He's like, I can't kill this guy because I don't know his real name.
I was going to say, what if he does a really stupid, inconceivable, like, method of death? What if he's, like, he's mauled by 1,000 red pandas? That has to happen. He just has god powers.
I think so. I don't think he's that whimsical in the series.
Well, that's on him.
Yeah.
Is that a thought experiment? I mean, I guess maybe if you pitch it as, like, whose name would you write down?
Yeah. Do you think that's why Jon Stewart changed his name? So that if someone gets a Death Note, he can't get God?
I think it's pretty easy to find his original name. Would you, if it wasn't for my instinct, would you be worried if you heard about this? Like, if Charlie said this about his kids when they were 3?
No, because his kids are white devils.
Okay, but would you have told him, like, oh, that's concerning?
No, I know. No, what friend tells another friend, I think, I'm concerned about your child?
What if he was asking your advice? Like, my kid did this. Do you think I should put him in therapy? Isn't that fucked up? I guess that is a bit of a leading question, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I don't think I would encourage them to do that.
Yeah.
But I would also say what I said earlier, which is keep testing, keep probing, keep track of what their answers are. I mean, speaking of sacrifice, it's Easter today. We're celebrating a day where a man died for everybody's sin. Is that a thought experiment? At what point would you be concerned about a child? At what point do you stop dismissing it as they're 3 years old so they can do whatever?
I think if they were hurting the dog, even at that age, that's concerning. Ooh, okay. Unless it was like they just didn't know.
But
that
you wouldn't
they were
have
hurting
a dog.
It. Yeah, that's why it's a thought experiment, Adrian. We're living in a Willy Wonka world where crazy oh, okay. things happen.
Like you having a dog.
I'm trying to think what else.
I mean, I've said this before. Just I've watched too many horror movies, so a kid drawing in black and white is a no-go mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah, well, just don't buy them a black crayon, and I think you're good to go.
Then I'm going to be called racist by someone in the Dear Prudence column. I give my son all of the colors except for black to color with.
Damn, now this is a thought experiment. How do you keep your kid from doing creepy horror movie shit without being called racist? There's no way. It's impossible.
That's true.
This is an alternate universe where Adrian is thrilled to have children. All you've ever wanted your whole life is to have children.
All I've ever wanted.
And the moment you find out your wife is pregnant with 2 girls, you have a breakdown because you're worried they're going to be creepy twin girls.
Oh, you know, it's been a long time since I've watched The Shining. Yeah. I don't know if I'm that creeped out by that one, but maybe I would be worried. What's the deal with, I know this, is this a thought experiment? I'm going to keep asking that and then talk about different things. The whole twins who get married to other twins, or like twins who get separated and live the exact same life somehow. I feel like sometimes it's like a confluence of things, but sometimes it's like, no, that is crazy that they're both firefighters and that they both married like nurses and that like they're whatever. Like you're like, that is a lot of things that lined up.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah. I guess that's just, you know, nature and nurture, which is not really a thought experiment, but more of just a biological explanation of variation. But
I mean, I guess there's thought experiments related to that. Before that actually happened, the first person, the guy who came up with three identical strangers was like, what would happen if you separated three twins? And then instead of keeping that shit in his mind where it belonged, he was like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
That's gonna be kind of cool.
Yay.
Like, keep that shit in your mind, bro. All right, cool. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, sure.
I think you may be overreacting a bit here. I don't know what kind of conversations you all have had about the permanence of death just yet, but it's entirely possible that a three-year-old wouldn't understand the seriousness of this scenario. Furthermore, I don't know exactly what you were trying to accomplish by asking such a young child to ponder a difficult moral quandary that adults have been debating for years. What if they'd gone to bed and had nightmares about train crashes and people being run over? How might a three-year-old grapple with the idea of deciding who lives and dies? I just don't see any value in putting such a challenge before a toddler, and I'm not surprised they gave you a less than pleasing answer. Running Lego people over, even gleefully, doesn't mean that your child has some kind of indifference towards human suffering. It says to me, I'm three, and what you're asking me is too much. That said, you can continue to monitor your child's attitude towards death and harm to ensure they're developing a healthy understanding of suffering, viewing it as something bad that shouldn't be wished upon people under most circumstances. This incident may remain in the back of your mind, and that's okay, but I don't think you should take it as a red flag. It's age-appropriate behavior. I strongly suggest that in the future your line of questioning be age-appropriate as well. Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I mean, she basically sided with you. Actually, they not even that. They turned it on the parent a little bit. They're like, what's really sick is doing this to a child.
Yeah, let's do a thought experiment. How about you stop traumatizing your baby? I also think that sounded like a fair question to ask a child. It's literally they're playing with Legos. Also, the whole thing about, oh, it's not concerning because it's a three-year-old. I don't think it'd be concerning if they were older either. Honestly, I think... Because once they get older, they know it's just toys. So, like, what, a kid can't be chaotic and funny?
Yeah, yeah, a kid can't be funny anymore.
I mean, at that point, you're calling every, and maybe they do believe this at Karen Feeding, but wouldn't you be calling, like, every kid who plays Halo, like, a little psychopath because they're playing, killing other people, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's fine to play violence. I guess maybe some new age parenting disagrees with that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think you should get him a Rorschach test and then a lobotomy.
Well, we always recommend people. It's kind of getting cliche for you to try to lobotomize people in our questions, Adrian.
Well, I'm just saying. It would probably help.
Dump him, honey. Drop him off at the orphanage.
It's not too late.
Drop that little sicko off at the orphanage before he hurts you and anybody else.
Yeah. All right, you ready for my question?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, mine's from Ask a Manager. Allison Green, I assume. Yes, it is. From 2023. A reader writes, I work in an office of around 20 people. The majority of us have lunch together in the conference room most days. It's not organized or mandatory, just a preference for most of us. People drift in and out and sometimes skip if they have errands or out-of-office meetings that day. The only person who consistently does not join in is Carrie. She has a chilly personality, but she's not rude or outright unfriendly, just keeps to herself for the most part if something isn't work-related. That's fine. She attends holiday parties or any outside work event our bosses organize. However, one day a month or so ago, our IT contractor came in to update software, and Carrie did come to the conference room for lunch because the contractor was working at her desk at the time. She was quiet except for greeting everyone, which is normal, until another coworker, Steve, brought up one of his quote-unquote thought experiments, which is a common lunchtime bit he does, although not every day. He proposes the questions to the group at large, along the lines of the immortality pill or Mary's room, concepts I wasn't familiar with until they came up in these conversations. Should we click those links?
Yeah, I think we have to know what they're about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to do immortality? I'll look it up while you read.
Yeah. This time, his question was essentially, if you had to choose between the death of one person you've never met or the destruction of all the works of Shakespeare or another author you prefer, what would your choice be? Everyone...
Why is this question... coming up again? Why are people so obsessed with the works of Shakespeare?
Or any other author that you enjoy. Everyone was being flippant for the most part, i.e., if I save the person, no kid will be forced to read Shakespeare ever again. Until Carrie chimed in and said, Shakespeare teaches us more about humanity than saving one life would. So I would save the plays. This created a very awkward silence and made several people visibly uncomfortable. Personally, I thought it was a theoretical discussion and was scrolling on my phone anyway, so I didn't take it too seriously. Steve seemed to feel the same at the time and debated with her a bit, but no one else said anything related to it for the rest of the lunch, and most everyone excused themselves quickly. I thought it was awkward, but just one of those things that would blow over. Which it didn't. People started avoiding Carrie, or being very curt with her almost immediately, like that very afternoon. It's not really the vibe in our office to email each other since we're so small, but most everyone started emailing her when normally they would just approach her or speak to her over her cubicle wall. I honestly can't tell if Carrie even minds the different treatment, but it's so pointed I have to think she's noticed. The next day at lunch, Steve expressed relief the IT update was over so Carrie would stay away. Many chimed in with their agreement. Unfortunately, every day at lunch since, at least one person will bring up Carrie's response to the question and how freaked out they were by it, and will prompt a prolonged discussion about the weirdness and how people don't even want to be around her and how she's always been off. I don't really know what to do. It seems so silly, but people are not backing down on avoiding Carrie or talking about how strange she is when they never seemed to feel that way before. Our bosses are both about 10 years older than most of us, a couple in their 40s, most staff are in their late 20s or 30s. I feel like if I bring this up, they'll see the whole thing as childish and gossipy, and particularly judge anyone who brings it up to them. We don't have HR. For my part, I've tried to continue to approach Carrie the same way I did before. She hasn't complained herself, so maybe I'm just making something out of nothing, and she's fine with the cost of the one remark she made. Is there something I should say to my coworkers, or should I just hope they move on soon? All right, what do you got for your research?
Well, the first one was the immortality pill. It's just, would you want to live forever? It's just like the classic, would you get bored question.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And Mary's room was a pretty boring question that seemed like it was like if somebody lived in a black and white room their whole life, but had been educated on color theory, like rods and cones and the frequencies of light, and completely understood it conceptually, and then was shown color. Would they gain knowledge from having about color from have it, that was like the crux of the question.
It was about being street smart versus book smart.
Yeah, basically, I guess.
That's interesting.
So, okay, that didn't add much to the question. Those seem like they have less potentially controversial answers. I mean, what's the most controversial thing you could say about the mortality pill? I would get bored.
That's what I love about taking an immortality pill. The high school girls stay the same age, and I keep getting the same age.
Okay, you're right. They could have said something wrong. Imagine taking the immortality pill and then immediately getting brought up on false charges for one of those things where the judge gives you like multiple like 500-year sentences.
Oh, god damn, that would suck.
Okay, but back to this question. First off, Carrie's answer is an insane person answer, but also people answer these things flippantly.
It's a viable answer to the question. That's really the only thing you could say, right?
There's one of two options. You gave her the hypothetically. You can't be angry she picked one of the options you gave her and be like, that sick fucker.
Oh, how have we not talked about the most famous thought experiment of all time? Would you still love me if I was a worm?
Oh, you see, that one is fun.
Yeah, but again, it's got answers. Very
and
clear.
I brought this up to Isabel multiple times. I would not.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I always say I'd rather be a worm than a fascist.
That's why you're always hanging out with Gusanos. But yeah, does this feel like the question asker is misreading the situation and people wanted an excuse to dislike Carrie or already did, and this is more of like a general...
Yeah.
If it's not that, this is a freak-ass workplace. These people are way too, I don't know, sensitive or something. I would start watching my step a lot more carefully if this is how they reacted to...
I mean, it's not good in general for them to be this gossipy and kind of, I don't know what the right word is, mean, immature.
Yeah, but I do think they're misreading it that it's about that. I feel like they're gossipy and mean and they don't like Carrie.
Yeah.
And this is just a way for them to express that is by being like, oh, we finally have like a reason to be like, fuck her. She's evil.
Now that it's been a long time since we've answered this question, do you want to say what you would do in this situation?
I would save the person. I think it's...
Even if it was all the works of J.K. Rowling?
Even if it was all of the works of whoever wrote Captain Underpants?
Oh, damn. That's crazy. Diary of a Wimpy Kid? You just let that poof disappear?
I think the thing we would have to lose from culture for me to think that a human life was worth giving up for it would be like...
Doctor Who.
centuries of art or something. It would have to literally be like where society would be fundamentally changed.
Would you give up one person? Would you rather save one person's life or the wheel not be invented?
I guess there's that one has like a more utilitarian argument for like the wheel probably saved lives, right? But it also created
all
warfare.
The people who ran over.
Chariots for warfare. I like that you went for people that ran over.
Well, that's very directly what the wheel did.
That one, I think I would save the wheel. I don't know. I mean, then there would be the person who'd be like, maybe we should have never like become a more technologically advanced society. Maybe.
Oh, return to monk.
Yeah. Maybe if we stayed a simple agricultural society, we'd be a more peaceful, happy world. I don't know. I don't usually buy those arguments, but I think there's a type of person who thinks that. So,
okay, Netanyahu or the entire works of Kanye?
Yeah, it just feels like they want a reason to bully Carrie, right?
Yeah, I think they were looking for a reason.
Have you ever seen somebody get this targeted where you felt like it wasn't fair? Like somebody at like school or work or when you were younger where you were like, why is everybody so mean to that one person? They seem odd at worst. Why is everybody treating them like a nefarious presence?
Yeah, I feel like that's happened before. I feel like I'm pretty sensitive to that.
Maybe that's people's natural instinct is like you dislike somebody because they feel like they're in the out group or other. And so then to justify that dislike, you have to pretend that they have a moral failing or it's like for like they're a bad person. So you have to kind of find a way to put that on them. And that could be this for these people, like, oh, she wanted to kill a person to save the works of Shakespeare. So it finally gave them that guttural excuse to be like, okay, I thought she was odd. Now I get to say she's like shitty and bad.
Yeah, this goes into what I was saying the other day about how sometimes people are trying to convince you that someone's not a cool person. And they'll give you an example where you're like, yeah, it seems kind of minor. I don't know. If I had to explain this to another person to be like, yeah, there's a woman at work who said she would kill a person to save the works of Shakespeare. I think my friends would have to be like, all right, that doesn't seem like the craziest thing anyone's ever said.
What's your answer? You asked me. And would it be different for somebody other than Shakespeare?
Oh, all of the works of Jonathan Pruitt are one person.
Are we leaving it at his name now? Adrian's number one science YA enemy.
Yeah,
JP.
I think I would pretty obviously save the person. It's hard to think about what would justify. Certainly not Shakespeare. Honestly, I would be the person where, especially in an office setting, I would be the person going, hey, no one in middle school has to read that guy anymore. I'm saving lots of lives.
Like the jokey kind of pivoting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is kind of your instinct.
So do you think that they should bring this up to the boss?
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up. What you said, this sounds way too convoluted to bring up to the boss. You know, you can't bring this to HR or the boss. Also, it's not really
their
job to defend her.
But that's what you were saying before, is that you have the instinct of someone being treated unfairly and not enjoying it.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's also like I have that instinct, but I didn't ever really go out of my way to be a hero. So.
I did. I invited Alan to my table. I invited Patrick to my table.
So I don't know. I would definitely just be like, man, these people are weird and gossipy, and I should probably just eat lunch alone if this is how they're going to react to innocuous conversation. Any last points on this?
No, I think I'm ready to hear the answer. We'll see what Allison says. She's usually pretty loquacious. This is a really extreme reaction to a pretty mild discussion. In fact, those thought experiments are designed not to have an obviously right or obviously wrong answer. That's why they're thought experiments. So I have to think that your coworker's reaction to Carrie isn't about her willingness to save literary works over a human life, and is more about their reaction to Carrie in general, as evidenced by those "she's always been off" comments. Would they be having this reaction if a different person had chosen Shakespeare? I'm betting no. They're freezing out Carrie because they didn't like her to begin with, simply because she keeps to herself, and now they have something dependent on. And it sounds like they're all feeding off each other and reinforcing / escalating each other's reactions, rather than each independently deciding to freeze her out without consultation with each other. We all saw this play out in junior high at some point. It's pretty horrible that it's playing out in your office. So please speak up for Carrie. For example, y'all, it was a thought experiment. The whole point is that there's not an obvious... Okay, she's just writing what she wrote earlier. The whole point is that there's not an obvious right answer for everyone. This is really unkind. And Carrie thought it was a thought experiment, which is how it was presented. She's not a monster, and it's awful to freeze her out and talk about her this way. I don't think you need to escalate this to your bosses unless it starts getting in the way of work, particularly given your concern that they would judge you for bringing it to them. That said, are you sure they would? This isn't just a small interpersonal thing. Your coworkers are trash-talking Carrie every day and avoiding talking to her. That's a pretty big deal, and a good manager would want to know about it and shut it down. But either way, you should stand up for Carrie when you hear your coworkers talking badly about her. And you, I hope you'll make a point of being warm toward her yourself. That's the right thing when you see a group turning on someone who hasn't done anything to warrant it. Yeah, I forgot to mention that, but that obviously would also be part of my answer, is that you should also go out of your way to be extra kind to her.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But yeah, I think another answer where the answer writer was reasonable and kind of hit the same points we did.
Yeah. Nothing controversial there.
Yeah, don't escalate to your boss. That's a little bit too much.
Cool. Do you want to get into the third segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Alrighty. So we have two of them. We have some hypotheticals from Phil, and we have some thought experiments that I pulled from Reddit. And these are pretty old Reddit threads, so I would say the vibe definitely tends towards like a little bit more, like they were 14 and 16-year-old threads. So I would say the vibe of the threads tends towards, I don't know, you know, like Reddit used to be more atheist, a little bit more Neil deGrasse Tyson-y, a little bit more stoned, like Velociraptor in its vibe. So a lot of these are kind of in that vein. So I'll read out some of these thought experiments that Redditors said were interesting to contemplate. Number one, Adrian, if the Earth was cooling as fast as it's warming up, would it be encouraged to pollute more in order to heat it back up?
If the Earth was cooling naturally?
Yeah.
Should and we had to pollute to warm it back up.
Yeah. Should we do that?
Oh. We should raise more beef, probably.
Okay. That does release a lot of CO2.
But other than that, I don't know. I live in a place where a lot of times I'm like, it could be a little bit colder here.
I think it would have equally like catastrophic repercussions. Well, actually, if it was just happening naturally, that always happens so slowly on like geologic timelines, yeah, right? That it's not a problem. In the same way global warming is, because global warming is like runaway. I would have to assume if it was a similar runaway cooling, there would have to be other similar like knock-on effects.
All
right. Probably,
yeah.
Right? It's probably not good to change really quickly in either direction, but maybe cooling is the way to go. Maybe that's better than warming.
Is that what you're saying? That we should balance it out?
I mean, that's what geoengineering is, and I think it's usually the argument to not try to do that is, like, whenever we introduce species to an island, because we're like, we gotta get rid of all the rats, let's put wolves there, and then we're like, shit, we got too many wolves. You know, it's like one of those, we don't really know what the effects could be to geoengineering, so probably better to try to just reduce carbon output than to try some sort of a crazy solution.
Okay. I'll allow it.
What if there was a drug that was discovered that could be administered after surgery to allow the patient perfect memory loss for the event? The drug is 5% the cost of anesthesia. Assuming that the drugs have identical safety and therapeutic values and all other factors are the same. Oh, okay. I didn't copy the rest of that, so I can't finish that question. Okay, go into the next one. Copy and paste.
Oh, wait. Error. I was going to say, I like that one. That one was a good question.
Okay. And therapeutic values and all the other factors are the same. I assume they're getting at, would it effectively be the same thing? And I would say no. I would definitely go for the anesthesia if I had an option, right?
Yeah, I would too.
But I guess they're saying it's 5% of the actual cost. Would we expect hospitals to start stocking that?
Oh, your insurance only covers that one? God, that would suck, yeah. Yeah, I think I've talked about this before. I remember waking up during my wisdom teeth removal, and it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had. So yeah, I wouldn't want to go through that and then hope that the pill works.
I mean, but even if the pill did work, isn't that kind of how memory is anyway? It's like, I don't want to experience the pain. You know what I mean? It's like, I guess there's trauma involved with heavy amounts of pain, so that would help make sure you don't have PTSD. But otherwise, it's like, once I'm not feeling the pain anymore, it feels like it doesn't even matter to some extent, right?
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying.
Like, think about something that hurt 2 years ago. It's like, it doesn't hurt you now.
My nards! My balls! When I got kicked in the balls that one time?
Why did the screen go all wavy? Ooh.
So wait, you're saying that memory is already its own memory eraser pill?
Yeah. Memory of pain isn't pain. Unless you experience some trauma from it, and then that this pill makes sense, because it's like, okay, you don't want to live with the trauma. All right, Adrian, your SO, that significant other for our non-Reddit heads out there, and parent of the same sex swap mind consciousness memories, etc. So now, for example, your girlfriend's mind is in your mother's, and your mother's mind is in your girlfriend. If you had to have sex with one of them, which one would you pick?
threesome. Yeah,
with two other people.
Yeah. I get my hall pass.
Why do you have to have sex with one of them in this situation?
Oh, because we get horny. Yeah, and you don't want to cheat.
Okay, which one is it? I'll edit this question for the asker. Which one is it not cheating with? I think it's not cheating with the mind in the mother's body. But I guess they're saying, which one would you want to have sex with? And that's the girlfriend. So the girlfriend's body, right?
No, well,
this sounds like a question that was invented by a girlfriend to get mad at her boyfriend no matter what he answers.
Oh, if it was your girlfriend asking you, then the right answer would be the mom's body. Because that way the memory and the mind.
Oh, so you want to have sex with my mom. Okay, you think my mom's hot?
Well, because... No, because your mind is what I'm attracted to, and that's where that's
oh, so you think you're not attracted to my body?
I am, but you know what? I think as long as you do doggy style, it doesn't matter who it is. Either one.
All right, good answer.
Yeah.
Imagine instead of swallowing your saliva, you spit it into an empty glass. Once the glass is full, would you be willing to drink from it?
No. What? Gross. What are the other answers?
But Adrian, you were gonna swallow it before. Now you're upset. Now you're upset because it's in a different glass.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. What would you do?
I like that they're not saying there's any reason you have to. Why would it? Of course not. What do they think is interesting about this question? That it's obviously collecting.
I mean, it's literally just the thing about, like, why are people so mad about a hair in your food? It's a hair is everywhere. It's all over your body. Why is it that once it leaves the body, it becomes disgusting?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't find my own hair gross in food. I find other people's hair gross in food. If it's my hair, I just pick it out and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, see?
And I know when it's my hair because it's tiny beard hair versus somebody else's hair when it's a long girl hair.
So now the drinking the saliva doesn't sound so bad.
Okay, now I'm getting into one of the ones that the person I don't think knows what a thought experiment is. What if each star in the galaxy could act or is acting as a neuron in a giant space brain? Sounds semi-plausible to me. Just a bunch of space brains floating around the universe, hanging out, staying away from the black holes, and occasionally smashing cataclysmically into each other. Puts things in perspective, kind of.
So he's saying that they're each a brain or that they're each a neuron?
I think he's saying that they're each a neuron, but kind of forgot that that's what he said. So it's...
Like halfway through. Because then my question would be, what are the communication channels then that by which the stars communicate?
I don't know. Gravity? That's something that affects over long distances.
Was there an answer to that question, or was that just a question? Were they just saying, hey, think about that
That's
for a bit.
Thought experiment, baby.
Oh, okay. All right.
If there was a catastrophe that wiped out 99% of the world's males... Another one that's definitely not a thought experiment. This is just a horny man, by the way. If there was a catastrophe that wiped out 99% of the world's males, how would I most successfully spread my genome afterwards? Would I sell it for vast amounts to sperm banks, or would I do it the normal way? The normal way would be more pleasant, but I couldn't bring myself to take money for it, and the sperm bank could distribute it more efficiently. Small doses to several women instead of all the load in one. Selling it to the sperm bank would be the utilitarian thing to do. So they gave us an answer there.
Yeah.
The thought experiment is do I repopulate the earth even though I want to fuck?
Yeah. No, you gotta. All that splooge matters.
All that splooge matters. What would you do, Adrian? You can be a sick fuck.
I like the idea that he wouldn't donate it. He'd still need to sell it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, and he said for vast amounts. I like that he's like, oh, it's going to be valuable. I like that even in the world where 99% of the world's males are gone, they're still like, no, we don't need your sperm. It's all right.
I was about to say, I'm under 6 feet. Isn't that part of it?
Well, but most men are gone. They have to repopulate the world, Adrian.
Oh, okay.
I also don't understand why you couldn't have sex, too. Like, why it's one or the other.
Because you gotta save it.
Oh, because each splurge, as he put it.
Yeah. He's saying they could divvy it up. Yeah. Do we know that? Do we know the minimum amount of cum that you need to...
I think we do.
Okay.
I think there'd be way bigger problems for society. That's also just a lot of people disappearing overnight who, I assume, do a lot of, like, important things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I actually posed a question to a female friend about the possibility of the internet having a consciousness of a sort. She freaked out, and now she won't speak to me anymore.
What?
That was a comment on the thread about interesting thought experiments.
Does the internet have a consciousness? I don't know. What do you think about that? You're the computer guy.
No. I mean, unless you think other, like, systems of people count as having a consciousness. If the internet had a consciousness, yeah, I think we would just have to say society in general does, right? Like, it's just the same type of information sharing. It's just...
collective unconsciousness, okay.
Oh, this guy cracked me up. I'm not going to read the whole question, but he just described that, you know, that Dove commercial where they make somebody, like, describe themselves and then the artist draws it, and then they have somebody else describe that person and the artist draws them, and it's like, look at how when you described yourself, how I drew somebody ugly, but, like, when somebody else described you, you're beautiful.
Oh, is that a Dove commercial? That sounds so wholesome.
Yeah, yeah, Dove used that for a commercial. This guy just described that concept. I don't know what makes it a thought experiment, but he wrote a whole comment just describing that concept as if it wasn't a Dove commercial.
Yeah, that could be something, right?
I think that's just a real experiment. Like, you can just do it. I guess the experiment is how do people perceive themselves?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And finally, the last one we have is, I wonder what would happen if we replace the concept of the diamond wedding ring with a donation to alleviate poverty in the third world. This obviously extends to a critique on capitalism and the concept of luxury. But if it were a social movement based on just this, there would be a lot less violence and a lot less death.
Is that true?
Well, I guess. I don't know. Sure. Blood diamonds?
Yeah.
What if we lived in that world?
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
In which case, Drake, counter-revolutionary.
Ooh, he bought a diamond?
Actually, I don't know what stone it was, but yeah. He did buy a ring instead of donating it to alleviate poverty.
That motherfucker.
The number one way to alleviate poverty.
All right, now let's jump into... Phil has come up with some of his own what-if questions for us.
Would you rather?
Okay. Adrian, number one, would you rather tell someone they're fired or tell your boss who to fire?
You're fired. I would say, welcome to the apprentice. You're fired.
I'd rather tell them who to fire. Why?
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
That doesn't even feel like a question. Yeah, obviously telling someone they're fired seems really mean and hard. And choosing who's fired means you get to make sure it's not you or somebody you like. Obviously, number two is the right option.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Unless Phil thinks it's a treat to fire someone.
Yeah, I was going to say, he finds that really delicious.
Is that what we're learning about Phil from this hypothetical, that he thinks it'd be really fun to fire someone?
All right, would you rather two, have no sense of smell or have lose sight in one eye?
That is tough because sense of smell is a lot of your taste. But I still think I would lose the sense of smell. It's so much less necessary for, like, life.
No sense of smell or lose sight in one eye. But one eye, you just lose your depth perception, right? Or your...
Yeah, but it feels like that would cause headaches and, like, other problems. I feel like you not get to having wear a sense an eye of patch. Smell. Get to? You yeah. can wear an eye patch now if you want to.
I don't think I can. I don't think people would let me do that.
I guess I would only have to pay half price for glasses since I only need one lens. That'd be kind of nice.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. I think I would do the lose sight in one eye and wear an eye patch.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like that would come with a lot of other things, whereas no sense of taste sucks, but... And I mean, I guess you would still have a sense of taste, but you know what I mean. You'd have a very subdued sense of taste because you can't smell.
Yeah, yeah.
And otherwise, I don't know. I'm not smelling things that often. I'm not, like, that excited for a nice candle.
Oh,
that's not
I'm
like...
stopping to smell the roses a lot.
No, yeah, I would definitely lose the sense of smell.
Sense of... Really? You're gonna go smell blind.
Gonna go smell blind.
I don't think I can do that. Yeah, I'm gonna lose sight in one eye. Yeah, or would you rather number three, be really good at any impression, celebrities, friends, anybody, or pass any sobriety test, breathalyzer, and walking tests? Or pass any sobriety test?
I'm not... I've never been administered a sobriety test. I guess I would rather have the perfect impression skill. That seems...
Yeah. I think... This one seems very much colored by Phil's recent experience with having... getting a sobriety test. Yeah, I would do the impressions. I feel bad. I feel like this is like one of those times where Phil does a third segment for us and we mostly just shit on how bad he did for doing his third segment. Because, yeah, obviously that first one makes more sense. Who would you do the impression of?
Oh, it's only one person you get to be in a perfect impression of?
You know, no, yeah, it says be good at any impression.
You're telling me I just become Jimmy Fallon? I can just do any impression.
See, that's what I was thinking. The first way that I read it was that you could only do one person. You had to choose somebody, but... You know, especially if it's any like person ever, then yeah, obviously, I would do that. Because then I would just do an impression of a sober person during that field test.
Oh, whoa, loophole.
Got it.
You just genied him.
All right. Big fact, no cap. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it. Big fact. If I was going to kill baby Hitler, I would only be able to do it if he already had the little mustache.
Ooh, that's a good point. So you'd bring one with you to, like, stick on him?
Yeah.
And my no cap is, what did we learn today? Maybe focus less on trolley problems and more on trolley solutions.